And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to this Friday edition of the Hagman and Hagman Report. Our guest tonight is Dr. Ted Breuer, and he is with healthmasters.com. He also has a radio show right here on Global Star Radio Network, which airs 4 to 5 p.m., as well as on the other side, as soon as this broadcast is over, right here on the same channel. All right, Ted, I just got your message. It kind of threw me off there for a second.
Joe, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
I apologize. I didn't mean to send you a text. I didn't think you were looking at your phone. I was just texting away. Guys, when you're not on Skype and you're doing radio, you can multitask while you're basically you're not on camera, which is kind of fun. By the way,
and that's why I have the phone right in front of me. It's because we're not on it on the video.
Foreigners are dumping U.S. debt at record pace, and our $20 trillion national debt is poised to become a major crisis. It's an article by Michael Schneider. And guys, he made some pretty good points on this thing. He says, during the Obama's 8 years, a staggering $9.3 trillion was added to the national debt. When we went into World War II, listen to me, when we went into in 2001, our national debt was like $5.8 trillion, and it's almost four times that now. I mean, it's incredible. And they're saying that if we don't stop this, we're going to have another doubling of the debt from 20 million to 40, from 20 trillion to 40 trillion within the next 8 years if Donald can't cut back on the spending. And you know what I was talking about today with Austin on the air, Joe, is that, you know, we needed like 10, 15, 20 billion dollars to get the wall built across Mexico for the 2,000 miles.
You said 10 or 20 billion?
Yeah, that's what they said anyway. Trump said 10, they're saying 15 to 20 billion. We spent in excess of 500 billion, they said before it's over $1 trillion on the F-35 airplane, which has like 400 defects in it. Now, think about that for a second. Just the money we've already spent, about 5% of that money would have built the entire wall. The Pentagon has now admitted to having lost $9 trillion they can't account for, which we know is in black op budget stuff that they don't want to talk about. $9 trillion they don't want to tell us where it went. And the craziest thing about that is, Joe, that's half the national debt. Are you kidding me? That's insane. And so why in the world don't we just back out of some of these projects like that F-35 and use that money, a tiny fraction of it, to build the wall and not make such a big brouhaha trying to argue with Mexico and saying that Mexico is going to build the wall? Because quite frankly, their president down there is kind of kicking up against that and saying that he doesn't want to be involved with any of this stuff. And quite frankly, that's a great campaign slogan for Trump, that Mexico is going to build it. But we, the American population, either me personally, I don't care who builds it. I don't care who pays for it. I just want it there and done and finished so we can stop this massive onslaught on our southern border. What do you think, Joe?
Well, I think you're right, and I want to ask you, you know, is the wall more symbolic than therefore actually keeping people out? Because with the right, the right expanding Border Patrol and ICE and the right immigration policies, you can effectively continue to do the same thing as building a wall. And I see some people in opposition to the wall, they see it as a, you know, mental and physical barrier of some kind, and I hear a lot, well, if it keeps people out, it can keep us from being able to escape. But I do agree, you know, what Trump's doing, saying Mexico's going to pay for the wall, even though they're not going to overtly, you know, hand over, briefcases full of cash to pay for it. Trump also put it out there that he will put a 20% tax on, or tariff on imports from Mexico, which would, in turn, the money would be used to pay for the wall. So one way or other, I believe that Trump will move forward, get the wall. And we know that construction is not going to start for a while. And this is a problem that's not going to be fixed overnight. And I saw an article yesterday, I believe it was from the Washington Times, or New York Times, one of the two. And you see people coming out, even Mayor de Blasio saying Trump's immigration order will make New York City less safe. By talking about deporting illegal aliens who've committed crimes or criminal records, he's saying that that's going to make New York City less safe. And this opposition, and we mentioned this earlier, the liberal insanity that has come against Donald Trump and the media, it's just not going away. And folks, if you still get your information from the mainstream media, I would only say, if you're still watching it, don't you take any of that information and go do the research yourself, because it's definitely gone so far off the deep end, it's just laughable. But I think the wall is a good idea. It's a practical idea. And if it deters people from coming over here, illegally, then I'm all for it. And, you know, a lot of people also say that this was the immigration policies Trump's put forward, that, you know, it's anti-immigrant. It's anti-illegal immigration. You know, he's not stopping people from coming over. As we see, he just issued that Christians will receive priority status as refugees from the Middle East. He's not halting all immigration. He put 6 or 7 Muslim countries on a list where you need extreme vetting, which is sound, in my opinion. And he wants people to come in through the front door, not, you know, sneak in through the back. And I think that is something that will add to our national security.
Well, here's the thing. You said a lot of stuff there. Number one, is the wall symbolic? Yes, but it also can be very functional. Look at the Israel wall they built up against Palestine. I mean, it's a huge, 50-foot edifice that prevents anybody from coming across, with gun turrets every quarter of a mile. If you build something like that up there, it's going to be a huge deterrent as far as letting people into the United States. That's a fact. There's not going to be anything that you can say that's going to allow these people to come across the border like that, especially if it's monitored. If it's not monitored, if it's in the middle of nowhere, in the middle of the desert, they're just going to show up with a D5 cap tractor and they're going to dig a hole underneath the bottom of it and come up the other side. That's all they're going to do. And they're going to dig up under the foundation if that's where they're crossing. But it has to be monitored. So yes, if we don't do monitoring of the wall, it's not going to help. You know, Hadrian built a wall in England, you know, way back when, I think it was the 4th or 5th century, you know, from Rome, and basically stopped the people from coming from the northern part of England into the Roman occupied areas. And it was relatively effective, but eventually it did fall because Rome couldn't support having troops stationed there. But we have troops in over 100 countries right now, Joe. We could bring the troops home, station them in the turrets that are on the wall, and prevent people from coming across the wall. What I don't want to have to do, though, and this is the craziest part, is when you have families trying to cross it, then if they go across the desert trying to get there, they run into a wall, they may not have enough food or water to get back across the desert. So it becomes a big problem until people finally realize they can't just come to America any longer. But yes, it is a psychological deterrent. It could be done without the use of a wall with enough troop stations in those areas. That's a fact. You're absolutely right about that. But when our immigration policy is to take them when they come into the United States and sort them and send them to sanctuary cities like Obama was doing, it becomes completely irrelevant if we have a wall or we don't have a wall, if they're bringing in people anyhow. But Trump's immigration policies are going to change on that. Now, one other thing. The guy in New York who said that they may have an increase in crime because of the expulsion of the illegal immigrants, that's a high probability, Joe, and here's why. And Austin talked about this the other day on the show, and I hadn't really thought about it from this perspective. If you go to Mexico, and I've been there many times, we've taken a lot of cruise ships down into those areas. I've driven in the Cancun area by car. We stopped in Puerto Vallarta one time on a cruise ship, and we rented some horses from the boat, and we went horseback riding on the beach. Absolutely beautiful trip. But when we got to the stables, we had to walk about a mile or 2 miles to get to the ocean, and the stables were in a very, very, how should I say, unsavory part of town. And when we got there, there were like 6 guys who had guns and machine pistols under their vests who were our guards so we wouldn't be abducted as American tourists and held for ransom. I kid you not. And what was interesting about this, we asked them what in the world they were doing and why they were with us. And then one guy pulled his vest back and showed me his pistol underneath his vest. And I said to him, well, I'm really glad you're here. But what's the point of saying this is this. Mexico is a third world country, period. Parts of Mexico are so horrible and so filthy, they can't feed their own children. The kids actually have to go to the dumps, to the garbage dumps, and basically find food for themselves. Mexico is not a place where I would want to live. Now, not all of Mexico is like that. In the resort areas, it can be absolutely beautiful. In the high-end areas where the people are very wealthy, it's absolutely beautiful. Some of the operas and some of the old cathedrals in Mexico City are absolutely gorgeous. And so you have a big divergence of population there. But if you're born with money, it's a wonderful place to stay. You can have a beautiful home. But if you're not, it's a horrible place to be. A lot of people would rather get into a crime type of situation here in the United States, Joe, and getting put in jail in the United States rather than go back to Mexico and live in a garbage dump. They'd rather be put in jail. And I believe that with all of my heart because I've been to Mexico. The sad part about this is, though, you know, we've got a problem because we've got to be able to vet these guys out of these sanctuary cities. Trump's threatening, and basically he needs to, stop funding sanctuary cities with federal tax dollars. But it's going to have some blowback from it, Joe, when we do that, because a lot of these guys will commit a crime just not to go back. Remember that one movie that Tom Tom Cruise did a few years ago. It was called Jack Reacher. I don't know if you saw it or not. At the end, they were, this Russian mafia guy was talking to Tom, and Tom said he was going to send him to prison. And he goes, prison in America? He said, it's a country club. It's a retirement home. And see, that's how a lot of these guys see it. Three meals a day, TV, they get there with, they hang out with their Mexican cartel buddies. I mean, they don't care if they go back to jail. In some of these cases, if they go back to Mexico, they're going to go to jail anyhow. So Mexican jail is absolutely horrible compared to the United States jail. What do you think, Joe?
Well, I've never been to Mexico, but, you know, you can read a lot about it, and I agree the conditions down there are not ideal. And, you know, they're, with the drug wars that are going on in Mexico, with the cartels, you know, they're sending in the federal government to combat this, and we see a lot of that violence spill over the border, and we see the drug wars that go on every day, and some of, you know, the cartels, the beheadings, and the threatening is moving more northward into Texas, into areas of our southern border, and it's a huge cause for concern when you see the level of violence. But, you know, as to, I would agree, as to the being jailed in the U.S. rather than anywhere else, jails in the U.S. aren't based on punishment like a lot of these other jails are. You know, it is based on discipline, but still, it is a country club atmosphere compared to a lot of places around the world. And people would much rather be in a jail in the U.S. than even be on the streets in some other countries.
That's
so,
right.
I mean, there is incentive to, I understand that mindset very well.
Well, that's exactly what they'll be running into. Because remember, we've got millions and millions and millions, probably, gosh, 10, 15, 20 million. Who knows? Who knows, Joe? Nobody knows. Illegal aliens, immigrants in the United States from Africa, from Central America, from South America. I mean, right now, according to one of the articles that I read today, but I haven't vetted the story yet, you know, Mexico's building a wall on their Guatemalan border because they don't want the Guatemalans coming across into Mexico. So they say they're ruining Mexico. I mean, because they're kind of coming through, and if they can't get to the United States, they stop in Mexico. So, you know, it's okay, apparently, for everybody to have border security except for the United States on our southern border. And this is what the globalists and the socialists and the communists and the Cloward and Piven crew were doing during the Obama administration to try to bring as many people into the United States, to bring in as many illegal voting immigrants to give Hillary Clinton the election. However, our good Lord prevailed, Yeshua prevailed, Yahweh prevailed, and we were able to put Trump in spite of the fact that they were doing massive, massive voter fraud, because Trump still won the Electoral College, because in these states that were doing the voter fraud, the Electoral College was able to show again the intelligence of our founding fathers. They did not want New York and California determining who was going to be the president in the other 48 states. So, I mean, so it's pretty interesting to me when you see stuff like this, because guys, if we don't get on with the program and get started with this, it's not going to get any better. It's simply going to get much, much worse. And so we have to understand that we have to do something different in the United States. But again, if we don't get rid of the central banking cartel, which has a stranglehold, this giant octopus squid, as Rolling Stone once called it when they were actually printing real articles, if we don't do that, Joe, it's not going to help. It may be okay for a few years with Trump, but guys, we've got a major problem. We got 95 million people that are unemployed in the United States. And remember this, guys, I'm 61 years old. If the good Lord hadn't called me out of semi-retirement almost six years ago now, I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing now. I'd be phasing out and rolling down and just chilling out and playing golf or just doing what I want to do with my wife. You know, the baby boomers have started retiring years ago, and a lot of them don't want to go back to work. And that's one of the reasons that we don't have a really good job selection pool in the United States now, because a lot of the highly trained baby boomers have retired and gotten out. We saw the same thing happen back in the 80s, you know, when the Bob Hope generation started retiring. So it's very important that folks understand that it's not going to be an easy fix. When Reagan came into the White House in 1980, you know, we had close to 20% inflation rate. We had stagflation out the yik-yak. Okay, he was able to basically, you know, start raising the interest rates and stabilize the currency. He was able to put people back to work again. He was able to cut taxes. I mean, right now our inflation is very, very low in the United States, and the Federal Reserve has pumped trillions and trillions and trillions of dollars into the economy in the past 8 years trying to shore up the Ponzi scheme, which is what this is. And until we start issuing real money, real currency that's not based on debt, debt note instruments is what they are. These Federal Reserve notes are debt instruments. Until we get rid of that nonsense in the United States, we are simply not going to fix this. And I don't personally believe it's going to be that big of a deal, Joe, to nationalize the Federal Reserve banks. I think that a lot of people are a little scared of that. But, you know, Andrew Jackson did it. We know that he did it. We know we can do it again. And we need to realize, guys, this is how it was until 1913. We had no debt-based system. And the craziest thing about it is we were the largest creditor nation in the world at that point. And like Joe so eloquently said, the last hour, we've lost 98% of the purchasing power in the last 100 years since the Federal Reserve took over. Because why? They constantly increase the debt, and they never print the interest to pay the debt. Let me give you an example. If Joe and I decided to go down to Grenada and buy the island of Grenada, if we had enough money to do that, but we didn't have enough money after we bought the island of Grenada to finance the infrastructure. Let's say we went to Donald Trump and we said, Donald Trump, we want you to basically sign a note for $10 billion, and we're going to print up Donald Trump currency down here in Grenada. You could charge us 7.2%, which is ties into the rule of 72, and which means in every 10 years that money will double itself. So Donald Trump says, okay, I'll charge you 7.2% interest. I'll give you $10 billion. I'm going to loan you the money on the currency. It's a debt-based instrument. And in 10 years, we go back to Donald Trump, and he goes, okay, do you have my $10 billion in interest? The problem was it was never printed. It was never put into circulation. It was never part of the M1 money supply. It doesn't exist. It can't be paid back. It's impossible to pay it back because the currency, the debt, was never put into circulation. So now we've got to finance that $10 billion, and we got to finance another $10 billion, and hence that's where the national debt came from. And then we start selling that paper to other countries to finance our debt, which is what they did. If they had kept the debt themselves, the Federal Reserve Bank could have kept the debt. The Rothschilds could have bought all of its own paper. It could have done that. Then we could have nationalized the debt also along with the with the Federal Reserve Bank, Joe. And had we done that, we could have walked away from those guys and said, this is all done illegally. It's all usury. We're not going to pay this, period. But because they sold it to China, they sold it to the EU, they sold it to Germany, they sold it to England, they sold it to Australia, they sold our debt all over the world, now we owe all these other countries for the debt. So even if we nationalize the Federal Reserve, we can't nationalize the portion of the debt that was sold to other countries, but only the debt that is still owned by the Rothschild banking cartel, which is still in the trillions. Because a lot of times when they have these bond issuance and these treasury bill auctions, nobody shows up to buy this stuff except for the Rothschild bank. So guys, it's one of those deals. We've got to get rid of these guys, and we need to get rid of them as quickly as possible. Joe, what do you think?
No, you're absolutely right. And it, you know, it's unfortunate that you have these, you know, as Andrew Jackson said, the den of vipers that are out there and able to put us in a and use this money magic to put us in this type of debt slavery. And it's infuriating because, as you just said, it's, you can never repay the debt, always ensuring that you are indebted to, you know, a lender. And this is why we pay property tax. This is why so many things with our economy are so wrong. You can buy a house, you can pay off the mortgage, but you still pay the property tax every year, never actually owning the land that your house is on, because you owe that tax. And this is all pointing to the next step in, you know, the New World Order's economic plans of total control. Because where do you go after this? They're going to have to implement a new system. They'll have much tighter controls on it. Could be digital, could be cashless. And at that point, you know, we run out of choices or things we can do. You know, we'll be forced instead to, you know, become part of this next system or find a way to survive on your own. And it's a very dangerous road that we're in right now, with, you know, the Federal Reserve pretty much expanding and have expanded their ability to siphon money out of the U.S. Now they're going to roll that system out and, you know, bring in a new system where they can not only control the monetary, the money digitally, but they can also control behavior. And I believe we're dangerously close to that.
Well, that's right. That's exactly right. Because we've talked about it on the show before, you know, just using the smart dust in the chemtrails and basically putting nanotags on all of us and using this nanotags using barium, which is tied directly into your central nervous system, which acts as a giant antenna to allow them to monitor your moods all of the time and to allow them to use certain frequencies and signals to change your mood and to basically create all types of chaos if they want to do that. I mean, they just found a new gene in rats now, laboratory animals. They can trigger this gene, this one set of cells, and it basically turns the rats into these ravenous, incredible, like zombie-like creatures that attack everything in the cage with them. I mean, this is the type of research that these guys at DARPA do on an ongoing basis. And when you see these crazy movies of people just attacking each other and doing all kinds of crazy things, you know, DARPA is letting this know that they're telling us what's in store for us because they have to tell us what they're going to do to us as part of their lesser magic or white magic, they call it, because the karma on the other side of this energy field that we live on, when they die, is going to be too bad if they don't get our approval, or at least let us know what they're going to do. It's kind of like if you have a vampire coming to your front door, you have to invite him in, according to the old saying, before he can come in and do anything to you. If you tell him no, he can't come in, he has to leave. Here in Florida, we basically have snakes in our lakes and these big old pit vipers, and you know, I've killed water moccasins that are 4 or 5 feet long that are just absolutely huge, and they're vicious animals. They'll attack you. One time I remember when I was like 12, 13 years old, I was cleaning a canal out behind our house, beside our house actually. You know, we lived on a lake when I was a kid, and there was a big old water moccasin swimming through this. And these are dangerous animals. They're pit vipers. They bite you. You're in the hospital if you don't die. And so we learned as children that, you know, we leave black snakes alone. We leave snakes alone that aren't venomous. But with venomous snakes, there's so many of them down here in Florida that we shoot them or we kill them or we hit them with a shovel or we try to cut their heads off. And I was taught this at a very young age because it's so dangerous. And what was interesting, I hit this thing with this shovel and it came out of the canal and chased me up the doggone bank. And luckily, by the grace of God, I had quick enough reflexes. I was able to get out of its way. And I thought to myself, that is one mean snake. So if somebody brought you a basket full of these things, and they opened the top of the baskets, and you saw these things crawling in the bottom of the basket. And they said, here, somebody sent you a basket full of snakes. We're going to need a sign for it so we can give it to you and leave it here at your house. I'm going to say, take your stinking basket of snakes somewhere else. I don't want these things. I've shot and killed too many of these things over the years. I don't want this thing in my front yard. Get them out of here. See, that's the same thing we've got to tell the globalists. When they tell us they're going to do this kind of crazy stuff to us, we've got to say no. And that's what we did with a resounding N-O when all of us went forward and we voted for Trump. And you promoted Trump, I promoted Trump, we all promoted Trump. Now, is Trump the answer? No. The answer of this entire mess is going to be a spiritual revival, a rebirth of the United States of America, bringing us back to Yeshua in Yahweh, bringing us back to the Christian nation that we were founded as, bringing us back to the pilgrims, to the Puritans, all of the people that came here for freedom of religion. We've got to get to the point where we allow each other to respect one another as far as our religious beliefs with different denominations, but we have to be unified in a single thought purpose to bring our country back. You know, Obama said, we're not a Christian nation. Whatever we once were, that is not what we are now. Well, the globalists have done all that. They've done it with Cloward and Piven. They've done it with Bill Ayers. They've done it with all this communism. They've done it with the Hollywood filth that's owned by the satanic, you know, the Sabbatean Kabbalists, or you want to call them the Khazaria Mafia. Same thing. These groups of people that do this, and they go in and they control the entire country's agenda as far as its moral fiber. The other day, Joe, Sharon and I went to see that one movie with Mark Wahlberg, this, you know, about the false flag with the Boston bombing, which I believe was a false flag. And what was interesting about it, we walked in, it was rated R, so I was thinking because it had some blood and gore in it or whatever, I can handle that. We walked into this movie, Joe, and within 5 minutes, they'd said the F-bomb and GD this and GD this and F-bombs 30, 40, 50 times, over and over and over and over and over and over again. I looked at Sharon and I said, I refuse to sit through this filth. So we got up, walked out, got a refund on our tickets and said, this is ridiculous. They put this kind of filth out. Well, the truth of the matter is, guys, that's what Hollywood does. Hollywood has done everything they possibly can to destroy the Christian fiber of the United States. Because you got to remember something. These guys don't like Christians. They don't like Jesus Christ. They don't like any of us who stand for that and stand for righteousness and what, you know, what the Word says is the Word of God. They don't like any of that. They want to destroy everything. They're like their father, Lucifer, who comes to rob, kill, steal, and destroy, and to put all of this filth and all of this trash into our minds, into the minds of our children. That's what their goal is, because they want to bring us into that satanic one world, new world order under Lucifer. These guys claim to be the benign Nephilim, sons of the fallen, and they trace their lineage all the way back to Nimrod. These are not good people. They're not nice people. And the only way to get rid of these guys, like Andrew Jackson says, you've got to rout them out and you've got to drive them out. And unless we have a president who's willing to do that, Joe, it's not going to help. It's going to get worse and worse and worse. And so until we get rid of this Federal Reserve Bank, it won't help. Now, Trump, like I said, may do that if he's elected a second term. He may do that. The problem is, like you said, Joe, he may not be elected a second term. Ron Paul kind of equated the other day on an interview I heard him talking about that it's like a giant tsunami, a giant tidal wave is coming towards the United States, and we're out there with the rowboat thinking we're going to be able to stop this thing. This debt that we've accrued on ourselves is horrible. California now is really pushing forward to get 600,000 names on a petition, Joe, to get out of the United States altogether. And yeah, have the United Nations recognize them as an independent sovereign state. And if we think we've got a problem with illegals coming across the Mexican border right now, you wait till we try to keep them from coming across the California border into the western states. People are going to be leaving California by the droves. And this is what they really want to do. They want to carve the world up to their new world order. China is behind this Brexit or this Cal exit, and they want to basically take over California, and they'll probably back them with their own currency. So it's a major mess right now in California, and these guys out there are actually stupid enough, Joe, to try to do this and make it happen. What do you think?
Well, you know, I got a number of things on this California issue I want to talk about. One, I was watching some interviews. I think it was Kellyanne Conway, not sure. But when they talk about Trump winning the popular vote, if you exclude, or losing the popular vote, if you exclude California, then he would have won the popular vote. That's just one point. And there's an article on RT right now. America hates California. Bid to make Golden State separate nation jumps first hurdle. And what the article is talking about is an initiative that they want to remove themselves from the union. A proposal for California to break away from the United States has been submitted to the Secretary of State's office in the state capitol. If it qualifies, it could trigger a vote on whether the most populous U.S. state should become a separate nation. I do agree that, you know, California trying to leave the republic is, you know, something that is not, I can't see how they would allow that to go through. At the same time, what you said back about Hollywood and you know, the people, the lineages from Nebuchadnezzar down to now, or to Nimrod down to now, you're exactly right. And it has this Hollywood agenda and this evil agenda that's been perpetrated through Hollywood and through our educational system is so dangerous. Because when you see Obama saying we are not a Christian nation, it's one thing for him to be up there and just claiming that and saying that. But it's another thing when the people of this nation believe it, because they've been, you know, brainwashed, manipulated, and ingrained to believe that we're not a Christian nation. It's very damaging when you know that much of the nation is Christian. We're up against the break. We'll be right back with more from Dr. Ted Brewer on this edition of the Hagmann Report. Don't go anywhere. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to this Friday edition of the Hagmann & Hagmann Report. Our guest is Dr. Ted Brewer from HealthMasters.com. Folks, go to HealthMasters.com. They are our one-two shop for all the supplements and vitamins and nutrition supplements that you can buy. And just like any alternative media venture, Ted is self-supporting with his show through HealthMasters.com. So if you are one to buy health food and nutrition supplements, make sure you do it at healthmasters.com. Their product is guaranteed. It is created, manufactured, and tested with healthmasters.com. And their newest product, the Cortisol Buster, is that right there? Cortisol Buster? I don't have the picture in front of me. Is showcased. If you're watching on YouTube, you can see the bottle there live. And after the last hour, Ted was explaining what this does, reducing stress, boosting testosterone, and at a very fair price. I believe it was $39.95, if I remember
correctly. That's right, Joe. It does something else too. It stops that binge eating. When you start, you know, that's what I've noticed with it. Besides, it massively increases libido, and supposedly in one study, it increased libido with women too, and helps to burn body fat, increase lean muscle mass. But what it also does, and this is something that's very unique with this product, it helps to stop you from looking in that refrigerator and wanting to eat stuff all the time and just eating because you're doing it out of habit, not because you're hungry. And it also helps with anxiety and a lot of other disorders that people have, because it helps to really relax you and lower cortisol levels. That's why we call it a cortisol buster. We had a hard time coming up with a name with this product because we use so many different herbs in it that we had to figure out what the best thing to do. But see, cortisol is a stress hormone, and the cortisol elevates all kinds of bodily functions, including chemicals in the body and the brain, which make you age very quickly and store body fat. So what we thought, well, let's just go ahead and explain it on the Hagmann Show so we'll know what it is. But it contains Relora, Sensoril, Ashwanda, Sudanine, Vannamed Leaf, and it has a group of different herbs that absolutely are amazing at what it does to massively increase the alpha waves in the brain to make you really relaxed but alert mentally. It also allows you to burn body fat, increase lean muscle weight. It helps to work as a glucose metabolizer, helps to stabilize blood sugar, in other words. And it's really good for relaxing and perception of stress and stress-related eating. So it's an amazing product. And I tell you what, since we've developed this and I started using it, It's absolutely something else. And that's why on this product, and I don't normally do this on the show, it's $39. It's 5% off. It's Doug5 is the coupon code. Everything on the website, including all the kits, 5% off tonight through the end of the month. And this, but by the way, this stuff is really hard to make. So we don't have that many cases of this in stock, and we're going to be out of stock on this stuff probably tonight. So if you want some of this stuff, you need to go ahead and order it tonight. It's that important because we don't have that much in inventory. I wanted to let you have a free, fair warning on that. If you wanted to go out on Monday, you'll need to try to order it tonight. And what's interesting about this product, it comes with a money back guarantee, which our HealthMaster products do that, but this one's a little different. I'm giving you a 30-day money back guarantee. You take two of these things in the morning, two of these things in the afternoon, 4 day. If you're a lady, you can probably get by with two of them. And if it doesn't do what I told you it's going to do in 30 days, just call us up. We'll give you a credit immediately for the store, or we'll refund your money. No questions asked, and we will not even ask you to return the product. That's how good this is. This is like the HGH Stimulate product that really, really helps to increase human growth hormone of the body and also increase libido. Also, that HGH Stimulate product that we have, it has like a 95% reorder rate. It's a phenomenal product, and this is going to be as good as HGH Stimulate. And so you guys are going to absolutely love this product when you try it. But again, it stops you from having that binge eating, or when you get under stress, you just want to snack on stuff. It stops that. So at least it does that with me. And the study showed that it did that too from a clinical standpoint with a lot of people who they worked with on that particular product. Okay, what's our next story there, Joe?
Well, actually, if we have a question from a listener. This is a question that we got last week. I did not get a chance to ask, but I want to do it now. This is from Philip, and he wants to ask you, Dr. Ted, and there's some people on chat who want to stop smoking, and they know it's physically and mentally difficult. Do you have any pointers or tips? Or anything that you can advise the people on helpful ways they can quit smoking?
Yeah, that's one of those really, really hard ones because it's not necessarily nutrition related. A lot of times alcoholics have a tendency to be hypoglycemic, and you can stabilize their blood sugar and you can stop the calling of the alcohol to them. Because remember, 10% of the population is genetically predisposed to become alcoholics. That's why if you have alcoholism with your mother, your father, your brother, anybody in your close DNA, you really don't need to start drinking on a regular basis, because I've never heard anybody say, my life was a wreck and I started drinking and everything got better. It always gets the other opposite way, Joe. But now, as far as cigarette smoking, there's some things you could do, because a lot of people, because of stress and anxiety, they smoke. And I personally think that this cortisol buster that we just developed is going to be a really good product. Now, I haven't had it tested for that. I'm telling you that. I haven't had it tested for that. But I think it's going to be a really good product because it's going to reduce cortisol and reduce stress and anxiety in a lot of people. So it's going to be an amazing product, and I'm waiting to hear great testimonials for it. And the same thing, if you try this product for the smoking and it helps you to get off the cigarette smokes, that's great. If it doesn't, and that's why you bought it, we'll refund your money on that too. I'm here to tell you guys, this product is that good. But that's what I would do, Joe, is I would get the stress levels down as much as you can, because, you know, a lot of times that's a nervous habit. That's an anxiety type of habit when you're smoking, because when you smoke cigarettes, you're self-medicating on nicotine. That's what you're doing. This is a drug delivery device is what this cigarette is. And that's why the FDA came down on it so hard years ago, because they're actually intentionally putting extra nicotine and extra chemicals in there to make it more and more addictive. And they got busted for that back in the hearings back in the 90s for doing that. So it's a very interesting product to get off of. But the key here again is breaking the behavioral pattern of the stress and the anxiety. Try to get more relaxed, because a lot of people chain smoke because they're stressed out. I know my mom did a lot of that when she was younger. She smoked a lot, Joe, because she was so stressed out from being in World War II. Luckily, by the grace of God, with both my sister and I, when she was pregnant with us, she knew enough not to smoke when she was pregnant with us. Thank God for that. But the sad part about it is a lot of people smoke when they're pregnant. They really don't want to do that. It's really, really bad for the fetus. If you have to smoke when you're pregnant, you absolutely can't stop, it's really important you take cod liver oil and vitamin E and make sure you've got enough iron in your blood, because you have to maintain oxygen flow to that fetus. So if you're going to smoke, which I beg you not to, make sure you take extra blackstrap, cod liver oil, and vitamin E to increase the blood flow to the brain of that child. Because remember, when we're being developed in utero, we lose about 50% of our brain cells before we're born. It just doesn't work as well as it used to work in our environment because we've lost a lot of oxygen. You know, there are a lot of theologians and people who think about the past, and they talk about that we used to have a hydrogen shield about 10 miles up over the Earth, about 50,000 feet. And this hydrogen shield held in a really condensed atmosphere, which allowed the pterodactyls to fly because the air was thicker and allowed the brontosaurus to live because it had about twice the oxygen content. And when the oceans basically opened up and the fountains of the deep opened up, some of these water jets, they said, went up over 10 miles when we had the great flood. And when that happened, it actually broke the hydrogen shield, according to some of these theorists, which caused the Earth to vent its atmosphere, which massively decreased the atmosphere on the planet. And that's why a lot of these animals died almost instantly, Joe, because they no longer had sufficient quantities of oxygen on the planet to support their giant, massive structures, including the pterodactyls could no longer fly because the air had gotten too thin. So human beings need large amounts of oxygen, especially when a mother is pregnant. And that's why the iron is so important. And remember, we've had a reduction in the amount of oxygen we've had on the planet simply because of the deforestation that we've done, because the plants increase the oxygen levels. Humans release carbon dioxide, which the plants use, and the plants release the oxygen, which keeps the humans alive. And because of a lot of industrial filth and dirt and everything else, and a lot of deforestation we've had, and a lot of the damage of the phytoplankton in the oceans, we've lost a lot of the oxygen that we have. And that's one of the reasons that people say in the old days, in the pre-flood era from Genesis chapter 1 to Genesis 5, a lot of people said that they think the continent of Atlantis was there and it was done with the fallen angel technology. I don't know. I wasn't there. I'm speculating it could have been a pre-Adamic race. It could have been after Genesis. But they said Atlantis was split apart and it ended up being either buried in an Antarctic ice shelf or basically being spread around because of continental plate shifting. But that hydrogen shield dropped, and that's why we have a lot of brain cells we simply can't keep in fetal development. So it's really important, guys, if you're pregnant, to get off the cigarette smokes if at all possible and try to get off of them before you get pregnant. And you can try the cortisol buster if you'd like as far as getting off the cigarettes. I'm really intrigued now that you brought that question to me, Joe, because I really believe that stress and anxiety are a lot of the factors that are associated with smoking. And I really think that this product may do something with that, but I can't make that claim. But I do know this, when you take Chantix and other products like that, they warn you that you may commit suicide. Well, quite frankly, yeah. before I took a product like that, Joe, I would just smoke. I would continue smoking and try to work the best I could. Even a nicotine patch would be better than that, because at least one of the side effects of a nicotine patch is not, you know,
psychotic
suicide
thoughts. Yeah.
That's kind of
taken Chantix before, years ago, maybe 5-6 years ago, and it worked with the cigarettes for about a year and a half. But I have to tell you, those psychological elements, not the suicide, but crazy thoughts, lucid and insane dreams, they're very real. I stopped taking it almost right away after like 2 days. You do not feel like yourself, at least in my experience. And not only that, you see, you know, the warnings, like you said, the suicidal warnings and all these other warnings. And then you see the commercials after that where those same medications are in multi-class action lawsuits. And, you know, call this number if you've taken this medicine and your family suffered, you know, death or illness. And it's just crazy, the side effects of these medicines. It's definitely not worth the risk.
Well, let me just tell you real quick. This is interesting. Research has shown that when you use one of the ingredients that we have, it's called ashwagandha. It's just one of the four or five we put in here. It eases anxiety. When 64 people with low sense of well-being and a high sense of stress were given a placebo or 300 milligrams of this product that we have, which is two of these capsules a day, plus all the other stuff that's in there. And plus, remember, our product is real. We have it genetically tested on our machines. For 60 days, the scores of perceived stress dropped by 44% in this group versus the drop of only 5% in the placebo group. And levels of the adrenal stress hormone cortisol dropped by almost 28%. That's a blood test. I mean, it really drops cortisol, which is stress. And it goes in another study that was done, 98 people suffering from stress. And again, that causes a lot of smoking. We're given a placebo or this product, and people on this product had improved well-being at 30 and 60 days when the placebo group had no significant improvement on the Hamilton Anxiety Scale. And there was a significant improvement in this group. The stress hormone cortisol decreased significantly, and so did blood pressure and pulse rate. Blood glucose levels and markers of inflammation also improved, as did levels of LDL cholesterol in HDL cholesterol in triglycerides. This is out of the JANA Journal, 2008, 11, semicolon, 50 to 56. So if you want to reference this article, in fact, I'm going to put this whole article on my website. A systematic review of five control studies found that this product also significantly improves anxiety. This is the A.J. Alpern Complement of Medicine, 2014, section 20, 901 through 908 page. And it says reduces stress and elevates the effects of stress on the cardiovascular system, like elevated blood pressure. So yes, I think this product would probably actually increase or decrease your need to smoke if it really reduced the cortisol this much. And quite frankly, it would be an incredible product to try that on and let me know what you guys think. If it worked for you, that would be just an absolute blessing if that could be something we could say that we've had a group of people who were able to get off cigarettes by doing this. And of course, B vitamins will also help with stress because remember, B vitamins are an interesting group of vitamins. About 30% of the population can no longer properly metabolize B vitamins unless they've been methylated. It can bypass some of the pathways. Our products are all methylated. All our B vitamins are methylated. That's why Joe was saying at the beginning of the show, our B vitamins are the best. And you have so much energy from our B vitamins because what it does is this. There's a thing called the citric acid cycle or Krebs cycle in the body, which basically is the spark plugs of the mitochondria. And the mitochondria are the energy storehouse cell parts of the cell, which create the energy in the adenosine triphosphate, which allows our cells to function. Now, what's interesting about all those big words is this. It's kind of like a V8 motor. You know, I used to change the spark plugs on my Monte Carlo all the time. I had a 73 Monte Carlo back in college. And they were very difficult to get to the ones lower under, you know, the very part of the manifold, back of the manifold. But what's interesting about this is I could put new plugs in this car, it would run great, or new plug wires would do the same thing. B vitamins are like the spark plugs in a V8 motor. They have to be there to make the Krebs cycle or your mitochondria work in the conversion of ATP from adenosine triphosphate to adenosine diphosphate. Without B vitamins, you can't produce the energy that you need. And so then you get stressed out. That's why the B vitamins are so important. So if you're also trying to get off the cigarettes, I would also recommend at least you get the B complex and hopefully also another bottle of the B5, B6, because you need additional B5 and B6. And those are really, really good stress products along with this new product, this is the cortisol buster. But these are why our products are so much better, because our products are methylated, so they bypass those pathways, which are about 30% of the population can't utilize their B vitamins anymore. And we see this all the time, Joe. People take our product and they go, wow, I've taken vitamins my whole life. I've never felt a difference. I take your products for 1 week. I feel great. Well, the reason for that is our products are the highest quality products available, period, because I've helped formulate them and do the research on these things. And the reality is this. If I can make a better product, Joe, I'd make a better product.
Absolutely. I mean, who wouldn't? And I, you know, one of the products that my wife loves of yours is the cod liver oil. You know, stomach problems, GI problems, and it is something that helps her tremendously. And I know you mentioned it earlier, and I just wanted to, I know it's been a while since we've talked about it, but it is something that, you know,
well,
when she uses it regularly.
Omega-3 fats are really important. In fact, when women are pregnant, it's really important that last trimester where that baby's brain is developing, that mama gets enough omega-3 fat in her diet. And the cod liver oil, they have to make sure those assayed. All of our oils are assayed, make sure they don't have any mercury in them. And now we're also testing for radiation in our facilities. And what we do is we produce a product that's super pure. And if you don't do that, you can actually contaminate yourself with mercury. Because, you know, because of the food chain and how this ocean works. And plus now you can contaminate yourself with radiation because of how Fukushima worked. And what happens is if you don't get enough cod liver oil or omega-3 fat in your diet the last trimester of your pregnancy, the baby's going to get sufficient quantities of omega-3 almost every single case by pulling it out of the mother's brain, I repeat myself. So that causes a lot of problems with what they call postpartum depression. And after the baby is born, the mother goes into this despondent phase and she becomes very depressed. Happened to Marie Osmond, and she suffered with postpartum depression. And in almost every single case, if the mother will supplement the last trimester with a tablespoon or two tablespoons of cod liver oil, she won't suffer with that. And it increases the IQ scores of the baby because it helps with the neurological development of the child. So cod liver oil is very, very important. And also other studies have shown in double-blind studies that it's more effective with mild to moderate forms of depression than Prozac or Zoloft. or the tricyclic antidepressants or the serotonin reuptake inhibitors or any of these things that we talk about on a regular basis, it helps better than all of those, and it doesn't have the side effect, the black box warning, that it causes you to commit suicide. I mean, gosh, guys, I mean, you think about this for a second. All of these drugs out there with warnings now, they make you want to kill yourself. I mean, don't you think it'd be just easier just to eat the right foods and take the right supplements, not take pills that try to make you want to kill yourself? I mean, to me, it's just common sense, Joe, but some people just don't get it.
No, you're absolutely right. And some of the side effects are so ridiculous. And many of them, you know, they give you medications for whether it's diabetes or for arthritis. And if you look at the side effects, a lot of times, many of them seem to create more problems with the condition you have as a side effect, which is dangerous enough, let alone these other side effects that, you know, I don't even want to get into them. There's so many, and they're so crazy at times. And
what, you know, when I have
a while back, the commercials, they're like a joke on TV. I laugh anymore when I hear the side effects. I mean, it's ridiculous.
It's like when I had my clinic back in, gosh, 25, 30 years ago, you know, we had thousands of people, sometimes up to 40 people a day would come to the clinics. And the clinic, we had like several offices. And what we found was kind of interesting is that, you know, people would come in with bags and bags and bags of, not vitamins, but drugs. The most I saw was one individual who was on 25 different prescription drugs at one time. And the problem is none of these drugs are tested with all these other different drugs like that to see what kind of side effects they're going to do. And the vast majority of the cases, they give you one drug which causes a response in your body that has to be treated by another drug, which causes another response, which has to be treated by another drug, and pretty soon you're taking 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 prescription drugs. Now, if your doctor has done that to you, I'm not suggesting that you stop taking these drugs, but I suggest you go to your doctor and say, look, I'd like for you to help me get off of some of the stuff and try a natural alternative. Now, if that doctor is unwilling to do that, go to another medical doctor in your area and ask them to help you with it, who's basically a natural physician. Now, you can look that up online. You'll probably find you know, natural physicians or naturopaths in your area, and they can help you to do that. But make sure that you don't come off of drugs, especially some of the antidepressant drugs, without having a medical doctor supervise you with that, or even blood pressure or diabetes pills or anything. You got to be really careful when you come off a lot of these drugs because some very bizarre side effects, Joe. So I never recommend that anybody comes off any prescription drugs unless they check with their medical doctor in their area to do that. Because, guys, you can die from some of these withdrawals, especially from some of these anxiety medications. They're really bad. And so, guys, just be very, very careful with your drugs and getting on these drugs to start with, because there's so many natural ways not to have to take drugs. I mean, Joe, it's amazing to me. I mean, I remember I've spoken to over a million people at live seminars, been featured on thousands of radio and TV talk shows. I mean, some of the biggest ones in the country, like, you know, Hagman and Hagman, plus national, international ministry shows, and we've been on huge secular radio stations, simulcasts all over the country. And I always told people, I said, look, you know, before you start getting yourself on drugs for high blood pressure, before you start getting yourself on drugs for adult onset diabetes or syndrome X, doesn't it make sense to at least try a natural approach first and change your diet and change your lifestyle and try to figure out what you did to get to where you are? I mean, it just makes, to me, it just makes sense, Joe. What do you think?
No, you're absolutely right. And this goes back to, you know, so often, well, just about in every case, when we're talking about pharmaceuticals, these only mask the symptoms. They do not treat or cure, you know, the underlying cause. And back to what we were talking about earlier about, you know, having to, when you make changes, you know, sometimes it's rough. It takes a physical toll. It might take a mental toll. But without that, you know, you're not going to get the changes that you really want. There's no quick way around, you know, making yourself more healthy, whether it's losing weight, whether it's getting in shape. You're not going to be able to take a pill for it, regardless of all the, you know, the fast weight loss supplements and drugs that are put out there. It's only a temporary fix, never getting to the underlying cause. So absolutely, you're right. It would be much better for people to look naturally, to do things the right way, in order to change the circumstances in their life.
Well, I had a lady come in my office a few years ago, and I used to keep her list here. I don't have it anywhere in front of me. I'll try to find it during the next break. And her name was Barbara, and her husband's name was Bob, and he was a nice guy. And he brought me, this is back in the mid-80s, but this would have been like 85, 86, I mean, a long, long time ago, 30 years ago. And Bob was a go-getter. He was a nice guy. And I had gone to high school with Bob, and he brought his wife, and her name was Barbara. And I'll never forget, she filled out a health questionnaire for me, Joe, when she was suffering from anxiety and depression and PMS and back pain and varicose veins. I mean, this list was on and on. She literally checked off everything on my survey when I was asking her what type of symptoms or side effects or whatever she had. She checked it. I mean, she was like a complete and total hypochondriac. Everything in the world that was wrong with her was wrong. And I started giving her some suggestions on how to correct her problems, and one of them was basically she was really hypoglycemic. And I'll never forget what she said to me, Joe. She goes, "Why should I listen to you? Why should I do what you say? I already consider myself to be healthy." And I kind of looked at her because I didn't really know at that point what to say to respond to her. And the Holy Spirit kind of showed me. And I said to her, I said, well, how do you define health, Barbara? And I said, you've checked off everything on my list. And she goes, well, I don't have heart disease or diabetes or cancer, so I consider myself to be healthy. And so what she was doing, Joe, was she was defining health as the absence of a major disease. Because yeah. She didn't have heart disease or diabetes or cancer, she considered herself to be healthy. So basically in her mind, if she could stand in an upright position and walk on a downhill slope with a breeze to her back, she thought she was doing great. And see, that's not how I define health. My thing is this. I'm 61 years old by the grace of God. I feel absolutely wonderful. I have more energy than I know what to do with. I feel absolutely great 99% of the time. I very rarely ever catch a cold. And the thing about it is I like being like this, and I take no prescription drugs. Every once in a while I may take an aspirin or an ibuprofen, which is very, very rare because I have had my back surgery and I've got to be careful with it if I twist it or torque it the wrong way. But guys, think about this for a second. I mean, I'm 61. My blood pressure is like 120 over 65, 120 over 70. My basal metabolic rate's excellent. My body mass index is excellent. I have tremendous energy and I take no drugs. My cholesterol is around 200 to 250 where I like to keep it, because when cholesterol drops under 200, all disease rates go through the roof, including cancer, which goes really through the roof the lower you go. Just the other day, we changed our phone systems out of the office because we're primarily an internet company now. We still take a lot of phone calls to the office, but we had a T1 line coming in there, which was complete overkill for what we did. This is when we used to do large secular shows. And what we did is we basically went to like a Vonage phone system. But what was interesting, the guy who put the system in, he's in his 40s, Joe, and he's suffering with onset senile dementia in his 40s. In his 40s, Joe, and he couldn't remember anything. And finally, I told him, look, we got to increase the blood flow to your brain so you could think. He couldn't remember anything. And so he was there, and we had a bottle of HGH that had come in from our manufacturing facility that had a cracked lid on it, the HGH Stimulate. This is not an injectable product. You drink it. It's a phenomenal product. And it's not HGH. It stimulates your body's production of HGH and also increases blood flow to the brain. And I told him, I said, will you please take this and see if it'll help you feel better and get your brain kicked back up so you can remember stuff. He texted me last night, and he goes, dude, I took that HGH Stimulate tonight, and I feel like Batman. He goes, I have so much energy. My brain is so clear after just one scoop of this stuff. And I same thing happened with my electrician, Bob and Lori Strauss. They came over the other day, and Bob was feeling really down, and I gave him about a half a can of the stuff I had at the house, the HGH Stimulate. And I'll never forget, he calls me back like 3 or 4 days later. He goes, what the heck is in that stuff? I took that stuff. I felt a difference within 30 minutes. I can't believe my mental acuity and how clear it is. And what it does, it increases oxygen flow through the body and through the brain. That's how it works. And so it's a phenomenal product. So we love it because it helps lower blood pressure. It's been shown to do that repeatedly. In addition to that, it helps to stimulate the pituitary gland to release human growth hormone, which helps to burn body fat. So it's a great stack to take as far as if you're having problems with memory or basically you're being forgetful. And that, along with vitamin E and cod liver oil, will really, really help to oxygenate the blood and increase the blood flow because it decreases viscosity. In other words, the blood's not as thick.
We'll have to pick up here on the other side. We're running a little long. We're up against the break. We'll be right back for hour number 3 right after these short messages with Dr. Ted Brewer. Stay with us.